Our scripture reading will be from Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 5. Ho, everyone who thirsts, comes to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy, and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. And delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and the nations that you do not know shall run to you, because the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you.
We continue working our way through the Gospel according to Matthew this morning with the 14th chapter, verses 13 through 21. Let us listen for the word of God with ears wide open. And when Jesus had heard about the beheading, and that is the beheading of John the Baptist, he left Nazareth by boat and went to a deserted place to be alone. The crowds heard of this and followed him from their own towns on foot. And when Jesus disembarked and saw the vast throng, his heart was moved with pity, and he healed their sick. As evening drew on, the disciples approached Jesus and said, "This is a deserted place, and it's already late. Dismiss the crowds so that they can go to the villages and buy some food for themselves." And Jesus said to them, "There is no need for them to disperse. Give them something to eat yourselves." "We have nothing here," they replied, "but five loaves and a couple of fish." "Bring them here," Jesus said. Then he ordered the crowd to sit on the grass, and taking the five loaves and the two fish, Jesus looked up to heaven, blessed the food, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, who in turn gave it to the people. All who were present ate their fill. The fragments remaining, when gathered up, filled 12 baskets. About 5,000 families were fed. May we be blessed by the reading, hearing, and pondering of God's holy word. I'm going to admit right off the top that this is one of my two favorite passages out of the Bible, is the feeding of the 5,000. We get the other one at the end of the month with the burning bush. But this morning we have the gospel according to Matthew telling us how many people were fed and how they were fed. So Jesus has just heard that John the Baptist is dead, beheaded on the whim of a king and his daughter, the effects of a party that had been happening. Matthew tells us that Jesus withdrew in a boat to a deserted place. He wanted to be by himself. He needed to grieve. We all know that feeling, do we not? To be by ourselves, to grieve. He was grieving a cousin, a mentor, the person that had baptized him. Perhaps he's grieving and thinking what it means to be a leader against the established government of the time. He needed to be alone. And alas, as the stories always tell us, the crowds just aren't going to let that happen. They heard him, they saw him, and he was going across the lake. So they went by foot around the shoreline and got there ahead of him. And when Jesus got to that shore and he stepped out of the boat, wanting nothing more than solitude, Matthew says that he saw the crowd and had compassion for them. The reading this morning that I had says pity for them, and he cures their sick. Even in his own grief, Jesus turns towards the need in front of him. Now, the story continues, and by evening, the disciples come to him with a very practical problem. It's late, they are in a no-name place on a hillside, and there are thousands of hungry people. Their solution seems extremely sensible and reasonable. Send them away. Let them go into the villages and buy the food for themselves. Make them head home. It's not our problem to solve. We just don't have the resources. Those are the caring words of the 12 disciples that had to be offered that moment. And Jesus' response to them sounds a little foolish to all of us, I think, but probably very absurd to them. They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. No matter how it is said, they're being told to go and feed some people. The disciples heard all of this and they do the math out loud. We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. Nothing here. 5 loaves, about this big, personal size snack, if you will, and enough fish in each pocket that would equal about 2 fish. And I don't think that they were tunas. I think that they might have been brookies, small. For 5,000 men, 5,000 families, 5,000 plus. It is, by any reasonable accounting, nothing to offer. And Jesus takes this nothing. Jesus takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he looks up to heaven, and he blesses them, and he breaks it, and he gives it to the disciples to give to the people. And it's enough. Matthew tells us that everyone ate and was filled. They actually scoop up 12 baskets of leftovers. I want to know how big were those baskets. But they pick up 12 baskets of leftovers. Now, I think that we need to be very, very careful with this text because it's easy to think of it as a magic trick. Bread multiplying out of thin air. Divine special effects, if you will. But I think that there is a deeper miracle in that. The one that keeps happening, and it happens in every generation since then. Ordinary people bring out what they had, they put it in Jesus' hands, and it turns out to be enough in front of all of them. This is not a story that ended over 2,000 plus years ago on a hillside in Galilee. This is a story that we engage with over and over with right here. And please remember that I have a theology of abundance, and I see it happening here all the time. 5 loaves, 2 fish, and a pile of socks. For the past 4 years, this church has collected socks for the Father Fred Back to School Shoe Event. Socks. Of all the things that people need, socks are the one of those things that are most overlooked. There are very few people who put socks on their wish list. And if you grew up in the house that I grew up in, every Christmas when you open up the box that has socks in it, you groan as a child because what child wants a box of socks? As an adult, I have a different appreciation for them. Very few people donate them. They're not glamorous. And yet, every year we put a focus on collecting socks. Now, I know that the bucket that sits out in the narthex space has never appeared to be super full. Do not be deceived. Oh, she's walking away. Okay, she's getting me more socks. but do not be deceived that that bucket never seemed to be full.
Jesus came in this morning.
Excellent. Socks in a bin that never looked like it was full. Not just a few pairs of socks, hundreds of pairs of socks. As of last week, the last count that we had was 304 students are registered to receive shoes tomorrow. That is the highest that we have ever had in this county. That does not count the walk-ins that will happen later in the afternoon, the people that did not make an appointment that will show up because they still heard about it. Every child that comes in receives two pairs of socks. Now, these socks show up because someone noticed a sale. Honestly, I had a person bring in a whole bag of them, and I went, oh, great job, thank you. Oh, Menards is having a sale. You can get 10 socks for $3. I shared that with my other happy shoppers because Menards had a sale on socks. You can get a 10-pack for $3. It was good to go. It happens when they go to Myers. Well, we even got more socks. When they stop by Walmart or Target or Tractor Supply and they see that they're on sale, people pick them up. From Ezekiel size to Evan size, we have socks, one pair at a time. Donations happened. And before long, the bins are full. And a loud shout out to all of the people who clipped all of the plastic ties out of those and then taped them up because they're all taped, two pairs together. And that would be Mary, Linda, Pat, and Earl. They spent time together, singly, collectively, prepping all of these socks for tomorrow morning. No one person supplies all of them, but together, there is more than enough. Five loaves, two fish. Year after year, as the number increases, it becomes enough pairs to matter. Enough for the Father Fred Back to School Shoe event to put directly into the hands of the students who need dry, warm, cared for feet. Nobody here is doing anything dramatic or heroic. We're just emptying out our sock drawers and putting them into Jesus' hands and trusting that there will be enough. But if socks aren't your thing, here's another example. Think of 500 pounds. We have Big Sunday, Bring In Groceries Sunday. And when I first got here, it was just the first Sunday of the month that we focused on Bring In Groceries. I should have done my homework before last night to find out how long Big Sunday has been going on. I've been here 9 years now, and it has been all of that, so that's been longer. So if anyone can give me that number after worship, please do. Or shout it out. It's okay. Like I said, it used to be a focused day. Now we have a focus month. And over the past few years, this congregation has roughly donated 500 pounds of food per year down to Bacon. Think about what that actually is for a moment, though. It's not one dramatic gift. It's a banana box at a time. It's cans of soup or vegetables. It's a box of pasta. It's a jar of peanut butter or cereal. This month it's baking goods, so I know that there is some cooking oil and some sugar and some cake mixes in the cart. And it's groceries that are bought in a bag, one or two at a time, week after week, by people who mostly never see the person who ends up receiving that donation, the final destination, who gets to eat it. No single one of us ever bought 500 pounds of food into the church at any one given time all by themselves. Each of us brought what looked honestly like not much of anything. A few cans, a box of macaroni and cheese, a bag of sugar. But that's exactly the shape of the story that we hear this morning. The disciples didn't each carry a warehouse of bread out to that hillside. They carried 5 loaves, 2 fish, between all 12 of them. Practically nothing. And they put it in Jesus' hands, and more than 5,000 people are fed. 500 pounds of groceries, one small offering at a time, is what you give them something to eat looks like in our zip code. But there's actually more to that food story. There are boxes that we pack for the school pantries. So on a usual month, the grocery cart that sits outside of these doors is never really full. That is until we're collecting, we say that we're collecting for either Frankfort Alberta Schools or Benzie Central. And then that cart fills up every time. When we have a focus for the school pantries, we fill 3 to 4 banana boxes for each destination. We do this because we know the kids. We know that there are children, and we know those children who go home over on a weekend and wonder if they'll have anything to eat. Now, this is also separate than the matching funds that we give Blessings in a Backpack. We give them monies during their matching season, so that goes even further. But this is a hard thing to sit with, I think, that there are many people who would think that it would be reasonable, like the disciples, to say, send them away. This problem is too big. It's not ours to solve. But instead, we collectively fill banana boxes with cereal, with tuna and chicken in a can, something for lunch, something for dinner, something that the student can manage by themselves. It is small, it is unglamorous, but it is a deeply faithful act of refusing to send hungry children away. Now add to that poundage another 100 pounds, if you will, from just Super Bowl Sunday, when we collect 2 bins of soup that goes either to Bacon or to the Benzie County Community Food Partners down in Honor. That's another 100 pounds. So we're putting out somewhere between 1,000 and 1,500 pounds of food a year into the community, one can at a time. So I can do this really pretty much all day long. If you need another example about how abundant living is in this building, I want you to think about over 300 pairs of boots. It's almost a parable all by itself, these 300 pairs of boots, because they come from ordinary bottles and cans. We've turned in some, well, be almost, would it be 300,000? Bill, bottles and cans to get 300 pairs of boots, if I'm doing my math right. That's why you're the treasurer. But think about that math. One dime at a time. Somebody's empty soda can, as I'm going to repeat words that I hear because I hear them and I think they're awesome. Beers for babies, every beer can that gets turned in, every pop can, right? Every one of those is 10 cents. An item that we stack up in our garages and our pole barns because who has time to return them, right? Who has the time? And yet, through patient, faithful, unglamorous collecting and deposit slip by deposit slip, Thank you very much, Bill. He wears a bracelet that says he rocks, which he does. Those deposit slips become boots. And those deposit slips become boots because Sherry, Bill, and Sarah have been out buying the boots when they come on sale. And right now, the average price for a pair of boots is somewhere between $10.75 and $12.70 for a pair of boots has been the average price for a good pair of name brand boots. Real boots on real teeny tiny feet, protecting them through a Michigan winter. Those boots will go both to the St. Philip's Baby Pantry and the Trinity Advent in Manistee's Baby Pantry. Nobody looks at a bag of cans and bottles and sees boots, but broken and given, blessed and multiplied, that's exactly what they become. It is the kingdom math. It is the math of God's kingdom. Now, I've been thinking about this all week long as I've reflected on our own congregation here, as many, many hands have helped prepare for tomorrow. If someone looked, though, only at our numbers, they might conclude that we don't have enough. We don't have enough members. We don't have enough volunteers. We don't have enough money. Even though the budget looks really great right now, we still have half a year to go. We don't have enough energy. This place has been busy. Churches our size hear that message all the time. But I don't think Jesus starts by counting noses in the pews. Jesus starts by asking, "What do you have?" And here is what I think the church already knows. It knows deep in our bones and in our souls, even before I say it from up here, that the kingdom of God does not run on the math of scarcity. The disciples' math said, 5 loaves, 2 fish, send them all home. It can't be done. But Jesus' math says, bring me what you have, and it will be more than enough. Isaiah says it as well this morning in that beautiful invitation that we heard. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy, eat. God's economy runs on abundance offered to people who believe they have nothing to offer and nothing to receive. Socks that nobody thought really truly mattered. Cans nobody thought were worth the bother. 500 plus 500 plus another 100 pounds of food that feeds a community. I don't think that Jesus fed 5,000 plus people to prove he could do a magic trick. I think he fed 5,000 plus people to show his disciples, to show us today, what happens when we stop assuming our little offering is too little to matter, and yet hand it over anyways. You give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. And a big shout out to Women's Fellowship and Outreach, because tomorrow they'll feed over 400 people through this building at rough count. You give them something to eat. Not the district will feed them, not the government will house them, not somebody else with more resources was going to take care of it for us. You, us collectively, the church, our sock drawer, our recycling bin, our grocery bag with one extra can of soup sitting in it. Love grows when it's given away. Hope multiplies when it is shared. Compassion expands rather than shrinks. And generosity always creates more generosity. 12 baskets are left over, Matthew says. Not just enough, abundance, with leftovers from what looked like absolutely nothing. So bring what you have. Always bring what you have. It's not too little, ever. Never is it too little? It never was. Amen.